Hi Dom, thanks for joining us today. I hope you're well.
I'm very well, Henry. How about yourself?
Yeah, very good. Thanks. European markets keeping us busy. I'm sure it's exactly the same in the US for you, with everything going on the politics side.
Certainly is. So far, everything is down, but who knows? We could have another surprise pronouncement by our president, and that could still things turn things up. But anyway, shall we start with discussing the data and the market over the past week?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, please lead off.
Okay, cool. So, I mean, basically, the data and the price action, I think, are really in sync. The price action, you look at what happened to equities and bonds since the beginning of the month. So equities are down about 6-7%. 2-year yields unchanged, 10-year yields up 10 basis points. So I think what this is telling us is that our president is lowering the growth prospects, but inflation prospects are unchanged, and that's going to limit the Fed ability to respond. And so if you look at the data, it's the same story. We got the CPI and the PCE estimate with the PPI and CPI, and they show inflation stuck, so for core PCE about 0.75 percentage point above the target. So no change there in my view. Upside risk from tariff, because that's also what the Beige Book told us, and also what we got from the consumer confidence survey today. Basically, a big increase in long-term and short-term inflation expectation on the back of the tariff increases. At the same time, we had a big shortfall in confidence. Interestingly, the shortfall was more with expectation of the outlook than current conditions, which goes with my view that the administration is doing a lot of damage to the outlook, but the damage is not yet irreversible. If we get another truth post from President Trump saying that, he's claiming victory and saying that he expects tariff policy to be more measured going forward, I think we could still have a big rebound, not just in equity market, but a stabilization of business and consumer confidence, and the economy could remain on the strong above trend path
Yep.
that it has been.
And I know you've written about this in your pieces, but what kind of time frame do you think do we do does the US have before this starts being actually damaging in terms of the sentiment effect? It's a matter of weeks or is it months or?
Oh, more weeks. Also, the risk is right now what we have is a good deal of a surge in uncertainty. You look at the policy uncertainty indices, they are through the roof. And interestingly, not just on trade policy, but on taxes as well. And we had a contraction in consumption, real consumption, due to an increase in the savings rate that's directly linked, in my view, to the loss of consumer confidence. Household real income was still strong. The NFP was okay-ish. The unemployment rate remained at a historical low. So we don't yet have a sort of a negative feedback loop between demand and production, where consumers are so worried that they retrench more, so businesses hire less and invest less, which means less income for consumers and more consumer retrenchment. We are not there yet, but we could get there. The other risk, of course, is that basically the uncertainty ends, but not for good reason, not because suddenly the administration tries to restore private sector confidence, but simply because there's no uncertainty. They really are about lowering growth. I don't think it will get down to a recession, but lowering it a good deal and inflicting pain. So I'm still, that's why, I haven't changed my call. I still see a chance on the Fed of no cut, which was based on growth remaining strong. But if we get policy pronouncements that basically do not leave room for a change. And one thing I want to mention, a little piece of evidence in this puzzle that investors should keep in mind, a letter sent from Tesla, so not from Elon Musk, but from Tesla anonymously to the trade representative, to the USTR, and complaining about the impact of tariff policies on Tesla's sales prospect. So I don't think the letter would have been sent without checking with Musk first. And to me, it is a sign that the more business and market-grounded members of the Trump team are kind of trying to sound the alarm and making him aware of the real impact of his policy pronouncement. So that's why, not changing the view yet, but obviously I will leave the data
That's
changes.
also very interesting because we do have some, first April is when European tariffs are going to come in and then going to rise on 13th of April. So it'd be interesting to see if my fear is if we get to that point, then it becomes a one-upmanship game. And at least in the near term, we may see our tariffs get broader and broader in terms of tariffs on European goods, for example. But always room for, as you say, it's so volatile. The deals can be done in a week kind of thing. So it can change fast.
Yeah, the challenge is to not react to every truth, but to still keep in touch with the market action. Speaking
Absolutely.
of which, coming to next week, so we have the retail sales, and obviously with a bad confidence number we've just said. Also, if you look at high frequency data and at reports from consumer lender and retailers, retrenchment is in full swing. So there is a good chance of a negative surprise to the number. I tend to look more at the control group because it's what's used to build the estimate of consumption in the GDP number. The consensus is 30 basis point month on month, so I think there is good risk of downside. Which brings us to the Fed, which is going to be on Wednesday. So on Friday, just before the blackout, Powell set out expectations for this meeting, and it's basically on hold. And he said he needs more information on the net effect of government policies, and it is a net part of that comment, which is important because obviously we have a negative impact of tariff on supply. Everything becomes much more expensive to produce, and on demand, workers become poorer, and profits go down. So, in my view, there is no change to the SEP simply because there is not enough information to make a good quality change to the forecast. Also, the Fed, is trying very hard not to pick a bone with the administration. So, if they lowered their growth estimate, for instance, this could be construed as excessive pessimism. So I'm expecting no change to the SEP. I think that Powell is going to be asked, what will you do if growth slows down, since inflation expectations have been moving up. And I think he will try to give a no answer. First of all, as a central banker, it behooves him to say that long-term inflation expectations are stable, because saying anything different would be an admission that he's not been doing his job. But I think he mentions this issue of short-term inflation expectation moving up, which I think suggests that a reaction to a growth slowdown is going to be reactive, not proactive.
And in terms of, you mentioned his, just for my, the SEC estimates for, is that including growth this year? You'd expect to stay the same. And what do they have for growth 2025?
So they have something like quite close to their estimate of their long-term growth. I think it's 2.1,
Okay, fair.
2.1%, something like that.
So it's not a super high expectation.
So, well, they've been consistently under-predicting growth, but now growth is moving closer to their target. So we have in my view, the best aggregator of macro data. That's the GDP nowcast of the Atlanta Fed, which is showing growth negative in the first quarter, but largely due to a very freakish increase in the trade balance, which arithmetically lower growth, caused by a surge in imports of non-monetary gold in expectation of the tariff. So I think definitely the trade balance trend is down because of people trying to front run the tariff, but not to the same extent as what we saw in January. So I think in terms of whether Q on Q we get negative growth in Q1, it's not clear yet, but even if we do, it won't mean a recession. I don't think we will have the NBR call for a recession, simply because historically, for a recession to happen, you need either tight fiscal policy and monetary policy, as that's not likely, not anytime soon, or you need a balance sheet, private sector balance sheet shock. And again, those are strong. Household and the corporate sector in the US had been deleveraging due to fast nominal growth, but also because during the pandemic, you had enormous transfers from the public to the private sector. So what you have, if you will, is a kind of a debt swap between public and private sector. Public sector took on more debt, which lowered the debt of the private sector. So not calling for a recession. And still hoping for some policy rationality so that I don't have to change my Fed call, but the hopes are getting thinner and thinner by the day.
What I'm guessing that tariffs are going to be the main, I guess, or just Trump policy are going to be the main to topics of the presser, I guess. Do you think it's going to be an easy one for Powell, or is it going to be, are they going to bat away questions quite easily, I think?
Sure. So Powell is the art of the non-anticipation. Powell is the best artist in the specialty of non-answer answers. But what I think he will do is to, number one, he will try to reassure everybody that the economy is strong. And it's true, until we had this policy madness, the fundamentals were actually very good. Number two, he will say that the Fed is well placed to react to, employment or inflation surprises. And number three, he will try very, very, very hard to not say anything that could be construed as negative on the administration policies. And I would say that in terms of the Fed independence, this slowing down of the economy by the administration in a way reinforces the Fed power as a source of economic stability. At the same time, if the administration weakens growth, the Fed mandate is clear. It has to take fiscal policy and basically non-monetary policy as given and try to stabilize the economy. So you could describe the Fed as, in a way, the policy mopping outfit of last resort.
That's a very good analogy. No, thank you so much for Dom, sorry. There's obviously for all our clients, there's Dom's put out quite a few pieces this week. on the FOMC, on labor market, on inflation. So for all her sort of more in-depth views, please check that out. We've also got a couple of interesting other articles that I would sort of point people towards. Bilal's put one on about what investors are thinking. Ben, actual Ben, has with Varesh put out the FX Weekly on sort of trade scenarios for Europe versus US. And then I put out a piece on European labor market and why it's tight and key, and I expect it to keep tightening despite all the headwinds. So please do get in touch. And thank you once again, Dom, for a very, very informative conversation.
Thanks, Henry.